Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Game night for the Sabres, as it'll be number 3 of the preseason. They take on Detroit, front end of home-and-home set that concludes in Buffalo at KeyBank Center on Saturday afternoon at 3. Welcome into Sabres Live. With Marty, I'm Brian, and we have our first full 60 expected from a Sabres netminder tonight in Alexander Georgiev on
yes.
a day when Ukko Pekka Luukkonen returned to the practice ice.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see UPL being back on the ice. And so for me, it's all a matter of how do you feel the next day? I think that they're going to be cautious with Ukko Pekka Luukkonen and not push it too quickly, knowing that there's still, including tonight, there's still 4 preseason games. And if Georgiev plays a full one tonight, and I would anticipate maybe Lyon plays a full one on Saturday, then it leaves you with 2 to get ready for this season. And it gives you some flexibility. If Luukkonen is back on the ice, maybe there's a half game or 2 periods or a full game for Luukkonen getting ready for, you know, the home opener. So it just allows you to be able to manage a little bit more freely what the next days are to be coming here. So that's good for Luukkonen. I'm looking forward to see now Buffalo play against Detroit. Like Columbus, I feel like Columbus didn't give much offensively. They didn't give much of a pushback. Maybe the Sabres created a tight defensive aspect to their game that Columbus couldn't break through. So now let's see if that same tightness defensively works as well against Detroit, and then see what Detroit is able to do offensively to test Georgiev and test the group on the back end.
Yes, well, a more real NHL lineup will face Buffalo tonight as Detroit goes with most of their top players. Columbus did not have that luxury over the course of playing 3-3 before playing a 4-4 with more real NHL players and a victory last night in front of Jet Greaves. So, again, this will be...
The season is saving Columbus. The season is saved.
No, they're enjoying a day off from having to play on 4 straight days. So, yeah, maybe it feels like they've saved the season. I don't know, but I'll say this. When we look at the Sabres forward group to start, defense eventually here, this is important based on what you just said. Yeah. How do these players stack up against the Larkins of the world, the Raymonds of the world, the DeBrinkets, the Caspers, the Canes, the Copps, the Rasmussen?
Yeah.
So, we, you know...
You forgot Darren Dreger's favorite, Ben Chiarot, is playing tonight, Duffer.
We'd get to the defense later.
Okay, thank you. That's the first name that jumped up to me. I almost texted Dregs like, hey, is Ben Chiarot on the move? Is he going to be traded at the
deadline?
What's
your annual stipend this year for him?
By the way, Dregs will make his first appearance of the season next week on the show. So
Dregs. Obviously, Shayna Goldman steps in tomorrow. She's the real insider. That's why she's here before we roll around to the month of October, right?
I think with Shayna, it's more like maybe it'll be non-hockey related tomorrow, more about what she's been doing the last month because we haven't talked to her in a month.
Let's go back to the forwards here from Buffalo's standpoint. And I'm going to ask you to defy the odds here and tell me who's the number one line.
It's Quinn Kozak and Doan. So that's my number one line. Okay.
Wait a minute. The center who may not have a place on the team.
But that's,
Peyton
I feel
Krebs
like that's my number one line.
On the team.
Yes, I get what you're saying.
So does Josh Dunn and, or so does Beck Malinson and Justin Danforth.
And Justin Danforth. But Doan and Quinn are higher on the roster depth chart, in my opinion.
A month ago, so we didn't know where Josh Doan could fit on this team.
Well, now he fits well there. I mean, obviously, we don't know when Alex Tuch comes back, where that's going to go. But here's what's interesting about that. So Jiří Kulík did not play a practice. He tweaked a little something. They expect him to, you know, be...
I was told it was a muscle, something I cannot relate to tweaking.
Okay. Well, yeah, sometimes when the... You get it. Jiří does have a lot of muscles. He's probably tweaking a muscle that I never had. So that's the one thing. But so... Interestingly enough is that, okay, well, if you don't have Jiří in this game and you want to give somebody a really good look at center between a couple of really good players and a line that has been playing well, in my opinion, with Quinn and Doan, all of a sudden Tyson Kozak gets given that opportunity, that the responsibility to play maybe more of an offensive type of role in the game against Detroit. So I that's the first thing that stood out to me when I saw that Quinn and Doan were playing. Well, who are they going to play with? And Tyson Kozak was there. So I say that's my top line. You know, Krebs, Mellenstein, and Danforth would be my, you know, rounding up the top six. Do I really worry about the top six, third line, fourth line in this type of scenario with this roster? No. But I think this is a great opportunity for Tyson Kozak to go in and say, hey, you know what? If somehow you had an injury to Jiří Kulík, or you had an injury to McLeod or to Krebs or whatever, I can step in and play that role.
Hellenius will play a third game. Ostlund and Roseanne are his line mates. Fiddler Schultz expected to be with Dunn and Wahlberg to round out the group of 12. I think from Hellenius's standpoint, it's more notable because it's three in a row. When does this streak end for him?
I think they want to give him as many reps as he can have in preseason. And I would have thought that he wasn't going to play both of the first two games because they were back to back. But you know what? We want him in as many games as we can. So now this is game three. He could easily take part of game four this Saturday. And then all of a sudden, depending on what the organization wants to do, if they want to really start the camp in Rochester with their guys there, knowing that the Rochester Americans are going to have technically a very short camp because the season starts, you know, relatively soon for them. So it's going to be, so maybe you play the first four and boom, you make your way down to Rochester next week. You narrow down to just a few extras for the rest of the last two games. But I doubt that the main guys are going to play each of the last two games. You're probably going to see one of those two games having your heavy lineup, your NHL lineup, and the other one maybe a few more guys that are in between.
Well, what about the bonding thing? You said that that was going to affect the schedule to close it out because all the main guys would be on the road.
On the road. And I think that may be the last game against
Pittsburgh.
So how
can you send everybody back to Rochester if you're not going to use all the main guys in the last game?
Well, yeah, it's a good question.
Thank you.
You know, the way that I was looking at it, let me just reach out for my calendar because, well, the last game is at Pittsburgh. So
right.
That's
the
why,
whole point of being on the road. Yes.
Yes, but I'm just saying they will bring their whole team in Pittsburgh and play them in the last game in Pittsburgh. So that's the way. So okay. The game at home, maybe on Wednesday, you have a few extra guys, but that's it. Like, that's their last game. So I feel like Consta's going to play four games. If he doesn't play Saturday against Detroit again, he'll play next Wednesday against Pittsburgh, the game at home, and that will be his fourth game. I feel like four out of six will be a really good number for him to play.
Mm-hmm. Because he's been talked about so much, what do you think? And we singled out Roseanne for his line the other night, you know, with Lecision and with Neuchev. What do you think it means for Ostlund tonight to be with Hellenius, who he may well be with a lot in Rochester this year, but given that you probably hear chatter about guys doing well in camp?
Well, I think this is, like, if I'm Michael Leone, the head coach of the Rochester Americans, and I walk by Roseanne and Ostlund today, I'd probably just say, you know, I put you guys together a pretty good amount of time in the prospect challenge, and it didn't really turn out to be like we wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to put you guys together in Rochester at times this year. I want to be able to say, hey, late in the game, let's load up. Let's go. You three, take charge. And I want to see it in this game. I get it. You're playing Detroit, who has a lot of regular in their lineup. But show me something as a line. Get together. Sit together on the plane today. Get together. Talk about it. Find a way to show me that chemistry that we did not see in the prospect challenge. I think I would go to Roseanne and Oslin mostly and lay that at their feet. Like, Elenius has looked good to me, really good, I would say, too, in the main training camp. Was that so-so in prospect challenge, but he's looked really good in the main training camp. Roseanne and Oslin has started to make steps the right way, but I think this is the, hey, you're getting there. Like, this is the night where I need to see it. You know, so if I'm, maybe it's more Michael Leone than Lindy Ruff or anybody else, letting them know that, just because he's going to need to gain that trust with them for the season in Rochester.
Well, assuming you're correct in your assumption of which line plays more tonight, and if you start with, you know, Quinn and Kozak, obviously, and Doan, I'm not sure how the matchup game will play out, but do you think this will be a greater challenge for this group tonight than what the collective groups experienced in the first two games? Or do we make too much about seeing a team put together its more NHL-type lineup when it's only a couple of games into the preseason?
I'm just
curious defensively, because you mentioned that right off the top. Like, I want to see if this group of 12 forwards can be as dominant from a shot attempt standpoint as
make
they
plays.
Were in the previous. And it's a different combination. I get it. But we're going to learn here a little bit, right? Or maybe we don't. I don't know.
Well, I think we're going to learn one way or the other. And if it's the negative side, maybe we dismiss it and we say, okay, Detroit had their, you know, big boys in the game. But so what's interesting for me, so Todd McLellan, the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, usually what he would do in a regular season game is he would say, okay, how do I get Larkin and Raymond away from the other team's top line? And how can I fit them in? But now you see the Sabres coming in with the lineup that they have, and there's very few NHL guys on the lineup. There's what? Technically, you would say five NHL forwards on the lineup: Quinn, Doan, Malenstein, Krebs, and Danforth. So if I'm Todd McLellan, I'm saying to Raymond Larkin, I'm not going to go away and try to play you against Roseanne and Oslin and Elenius. I'm going to try to play you as much as I can against NHL competition. I want you guys to be able to elevate your game, right? So that's a little bit different here. So that's why I feel that it will be a big test for Quinn, Doan, and Kozak. It will be a big test for Krebs, Malenstein, and Danforth, because they are going to play against some of the best players. When you talk about DeBrincat and Casper and Patrick Kane and Larkin and Raymond, like, those are the six guys that will mostly play against the top two lines.
Mm-hmm. As far as the blue line is concerned, I promised we would get to it. It is highlighted by the pairing of, much talked about in the offseason, Owen Power and Michael Kesselring.
Yeah, and they your top pairs. Like, there's no doubt. If you look at the back end right now, you're saying, who is your top pair? It's Kesselring and Power. And they're probably going to be playing in that way as well. So that, to me, is where that would go. But I'm interested to see what Radim Mertko is going to do, right? And he's been trending the right way. I'm interested to see what Mertko is going to do in that second pairing, probably with Zach Jones. So, again, you're going to get Kesselring Power probably playing against Larkin and Raymond. Well, all of a sudden, you're going to have Mertko on the ice against Patrick Kane. You're going to have Mertko on the ice against Alex DeBrincat. Like, there's definitely a lot there to evaluate Mertko in this game.
Yeah, it's the biggest difference, right? I mean, Mertke is not playing the right side with Bo Byram on his left. He's got Zach Jones, who performed well in the last game, and you have Power and Kesselring, the much talked about, you know, right shot defenseman for Power. And I mean,
can you see Mertke taking the lead on that pair? Because with Byram, he was kind of like, I don't want to call it the passenger, but obviously it's smart to say, I'm going to kind of react a little bit more to what Byram is going to do. And then as the game...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In Columbus, I felt like Mertke took more of an ownership in his play. Mm-hmm. That's totally normal. But I'm kind of interested to see if Mertke is going to be like, okay, Zach Jones, like, come with me. I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to jump on the rush. I'm going to make plays at the blue line. Like, I hope so. I it's hard. It's an 18-year-old defenseman in his second NHL preseason game. That's hard. But I would love to be coming up after tonight and say, wow, Mertke took over his pairing. He showed that leadership. He was great. Like, again, that would be fun for the Sabres to be able to say that.
Yeah, I don't think I would go so far as saying leadership at this point. I think they want Mertke to be Mertke. And yeah. I think the beauty of, like, this is obviously the most interesting change in the lineup, because you go from putting the 18-year-old with the, as talked about, veteran 24-year-old Bo Byram. I mean, Jones can't be that much younger than Byram.
No, he's not.
So anyway, like the it's just they are in this lineup putting more on the plate of Mertke, and I love that.
Yeah, it should be, because he's so. Oh, Duffer, I mean, we're dads, we're parents, and I remember when I was younger.
It's National Daughters Day.
Is it really?
Yes. So
happy National Daughters Day to my daughters and to your daughters and to everybody's daughters out there. But I remember when I was
Zach Jones is the same age as Bo Byram, by the way.
Oh. Okay, perfect. So I knew it was close. I remember, like, you know, you're reading these books, right? You're trying to get, your parents are telling you, you got to do this, and you're good at it with kids. But I remember parenting in a funnel. So basically, as a young infant child, you are at the very, very narrow point of the funnel. And then as you get older, you push those boundaries up a little bit to the side to open the funnel, to give them more, you know, of a decision-making aspect and more liberties to be able to make their own ways. Mm-hmm. But you have to earn it. You can't open the funnel if you haven't earned it. If you have told me that you need these boundaries to be here, I'm not going to push the boundaries over because you haven't gotten there. And I think with Mertke, that is very, very similar. I thought that they really, kind of from development camp to prospect challenge, had kept the funnel, you know, for him to be able to really, you know, get better inside of those boundaries. And because he's responded so well, now they've opened up the funnel a little bit more and allowing him to see, hey, are you going to continue to develop as we open the funnel? Or have we opened it a little bit too much now, having you play with Zach Jones against a really good Detroit lineup? But you don't know that until You give them the opportunities maybe to fail or to succeed. That's what it comes down to.
Well, keep in mind, Jones has been a pro for 5 years here. Yes. He's 24. He's got 115 NHL games, and that includes 46 with the Rangers last year. Now, it was a tough year for the New York Rangers, especially defensively after their really hot start. But what should we be thinking about Zach Jones here? I don't think he gets nearly enough attention based on all the talk of the top six this offseason and who would round it out and the additions of Kesselring and Timmins. But, like, he's played almost 80 NHL games in the last two seasons here and been on the roster, as importantly. Like, he only had two AHL games over the last 2 years.
Yes.
So that is, you're talking about, I just think it's amazing here when you're looking at it from the standpoint of age and everything we talked about in that home game the other night, or first, pardon me, the road game in Columbus with the defense corps, average age was 22. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we're giving enough attention, or we're not viewing the reps yet, I think, as we, and tonight should change that for Zach Jones. I think he deserves to enter the conversation here.
I think you're right. And the reason why I don't think we give Zach Jones as much, and maybe we should, is because Jacob Bryson was resigned. Michael Kesselring was brought in. Connor Timmins was brought in. And so when you look at the depth chart, Zach Jones kind of feels like the, not the third wheel, not the fourth wheel, not the fifth wheel, the eighth wheel, right? The way that you look at it. But if you look at the road maps of Zach Jones over the last 3 years and the amount of time he spent on an NHL roster with a really good NHL roster, the New York Rangers, who won the President's Trophy 2 years ago, you're thinking, oh, well, we know Bryson well here in Buffalo, but is Zach Jones ahead of Bryson? And all of a sudden, you know, Connor Timmins, the jury's out there. Like, is he a top six guy? Will he be in your top six? Or could somebody like Zach Jones, or could somebody like Jacob Bryson take his spot? Mm-hmm. I feel like your top five is set, right? Darlene Byram, Power Kesselring, and Matthias Samuelsson. That's
contractually,
your top.
Yes.
Contractually, but I feel like that's...
No, but we talked earlier, the only reason I'm saying is we talked earlier about how Samuelsson himself has an awful lot to prove, right, to himself and everybody this year.
But I think, like, I will bet the farm that on October 9th against the New York Rangers, five of the six defensemen that are playing, bearing any injuries or setbacks or anything, will be Byram, Dahlin, Power Kesselring, and Matthias Samuelsson. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to bet the farm on who that sixth defenseman is just yet. Mm-hmm. You know, could very well be Connor Timmins. Why? Because, okay, well, technically you got righty, lefty, you got everything, you got size, you got, that's what you sign him for. Mm-hmm. But could it be Bryson? Could it be Jones? It could easily be anybody out of the bottom three, the six, seven, and eight defensemen that would fit in there. And I think if you're Zach Jones and you get an opportunity to play with Radim Mertka, who was your first round pick and has shown really well.
Like flip the conversation here.
I'll take that.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, like, he was able to, in his 46 games last year, and I get it, like, it didn't end well for the Rangers and Laviolette, and that's why there's so much change. But
yes,
there's nothing on the surface. We need more people closest to the scene, obviously, that see everything and analyze, like Shayna tomorrow, maybe with, you know, a follow-up on Zach Jones. Yeah. But he played over 17 minutes a night and, like, was an even player. And, you know, most situations he was on
and he had 11 points last year in 46 games. So give him 20 points in the season. Yeah. Full 82 game season. I mean, like, that's pretty good.
I all I'm saying is I'm now more interested, and tonight's pairing makes it that much more so.
I think that has been, when I look around the National Hockey League right now, the biggest points of conversations around the NHL in most markets has been around the group of defensemen. It's like, every, you know how teams have a number three and maybe even a number four goalie? Look at the Sabres. They get Georgiev. So they have Lukanen, Georgiev, Lyon, Levi. Like, Montreal has Kaapo Kähkönen with Dobesh and Montembeau, and they got Fowler. The teams, the two biggest point of conversation around the NHL are goalies and the depth at goalies and the blue line. Because I feel like you can always adjust with 13 forwards, maybe 14 forwards. You've got more of a, okay, we'll adjust. But on with six defensemen and two or three goaltenders, things get tighter. The competitions are heightened because it's camp. Somebody's trying to grab the sixth spot. Somebody's trying to grab the seventh spot. And I think those conversations are happening not just here in Buffalo. They're happening everywhere right now.
Well, clearly Anaheim and Nashville have taken your philosophy by not signing Mason McTavish and Luke Evangelista.
Yes. And New Jersey with
Smorwards, they say.
Forward Smorwards. We got plenty of them. And, but, you know, I mean, that is going to be Luke Hughes is going to be big. So somebody in New Jersey right now is saying, I got an opportunity. I got an opportunity
to
present myself.
It's Ethan Edwards, because he's been essentially, and Sheldon Keefe said this, he basically said he's taken Luke's spot, and he's raving about him. And so whether it's gamesmanship, you know, or it's just brutal on, and remember, the Devils went through this before when Kovacevic all of a sudden, right, appeared on the scene. And then elevated out of nowhere. And now they have to backfill for his injury. But, yeah, I was just reading today about how Keefe can't stop talking about Edwards. And he is a possibility to take the exact spot that is currently vacated by the non-contracted player named Luke Hughes.
Is Prospect Challenge darling Seamus Casey factoring into that top six or seven now in New Jersey?
Edwards' name only stood out because it was in direct connection to Hughes. But yes, and I haven't updated the preseason stats today yet. So I can't sit here and speak with any great certainty about Seamus Casey. But
there's
still a half hour left in the show. Hang on for that.
Maybe you'll send a couple of texts or emails and hope to get a response. But. Like, this is why I feel like prospect challenges in preseason games matter so much for certain players. It doesn't matter as much for Tage Thompson and Josh Norris, although maybe for those two to build chemistry, it matters. But most teams, right? Like most established NHL players, it's good to have success in preseason, but it's not the end of the line. But I do feel for borderline guys, for on the edge of the roster guys, like, this matters. And if we come on this show tomorrow and we say, man, Zach Jones had one heck of a game tonight, then all of a sudden, it's not just we're talking about it. Fans are talking about it. The Sabres coaching staff has got to be seeing it and talking about it. So that's the big thing here, is how one game can change what Saturday is going to look like, what next week, Wednesday, Friday is going to look like. You get that opportunity tonight if you're Zach Jones, if you're Radim Mirka, if you're Tyson Kozak, if you're Konstalinius. Like, there's those opportunities.
Seamus Casey has not played yet for the Devils, so I'm not sure if he's dealing with an injury, but he has not appeared in the preseason play yet.
Well, he was like on the Prospect Challenge roster, and we were both saying, like, he's not going to play, right? But
No, I know, but he obviously would be a normal participant in main camp based on his ascension to the NHL early last season. So, you know, it's been like the Dougie Hamiltons, Dennis Chalowskis, Ethan Edwards, Brendan Dillon, Simone Nemitz, Brett Pesce, you know, Callan Addison, who they brought in this year, right? And I'm not seeing Casey at all as far as games played yet in the preseason. So
we got to the bottom of that. Yeah,
partway there.
Maybe it's too early. Maybe he's just a late bloomer in preseason. He's like, let me get myself going here.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to get the goal songs going, so we want a whole bunch of goals on Saturday as we whittle down the final list of five songs that you have helped select to be the Sabres goal song for the blue and gold games this year. And we've got the five on the screen here on MSG. Of course, you go to sabres.com, and we want you, you know, to really feel this in the arena, like you did the other night with a couple of goals, hopefully with a bunch of them in the two remaining home preseason games. These songs, of course, were submitted by you. So vote now. Be entered to win two tickets to the home opener. You can vote once per day now through October 3rd, and the winning song will be announced in advance of the home opener on October 9th. Of course, the Amerks open their season on October 10th. We're going to be talking to Don Stevens tomorrow. Marty referenced Shayna Goldman also on tomorrow's show. Lots to get to around the NHL still here on Sabres Live. It's a game night for Buffalo. They're in Detroit. It's streaming on Sabres.com. And of course, you hear it right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.